Rebecca Giro. It is not necessarily the Rebecca Giro show. That would have happened last night, but unfortunately, well, I'm not going to go into detail. Suffice it to say, I had some issues here in New Jersey that I had to attend to, and couldn't do a show last night, and couldn't get back to the computer in time to tell you guys until, like, basically it was supposed to be happening. So, mea culpa on that. I apologize, but here we are. It is the middle of Friday afternoon. I'm doing an hour just to kind of catch up with you, make up for a little bit. Wanted to cover a couple of things today, but well, you know, I'll start off with this. You know, it's interesting. Back when this whole RuPaul thing started, you know, when we had this thing, of course, you know, with the she-male, the female or she-male segment, the whole thing. When that all started, now bear in mind, of course, needless to say, the problems with RuPaul started a lot earlier than just that. I mean, I'm just talking about this most recent spate of stuff that's gone on. When that all started, everybody looked around, you know, naturally, when these things jump off, the first place you look is like, well, where's GLAAD on this, you know? And, well, they weren't too easy to find. Took a little prodding by me and other folks wondering, you know, what's going on here? And they keep telling us, oh, we're working in the background. Don't worry. Things will be fine. And then, well, you know, we hear stuff and people tell us, you're doing stuff. And then all of a sudden it turns out to be bullshit. You know, I mean, it seems like GLAAD is... Nobody gives a shit anymore. I mean, you know, now they had the thing with the Drag Race 76 video, horribly transphobic. They were apparently unwilling to go up against Arianna Huffington and Noah Michelson, apparently unwilling to challenge the anti-transgender bigotry of that video, which I should point out was apologized for by the person who created it. But as far as I know, had nothing to do with GLAAD, because GLAAD certainly wasn't a part of that. Or at least if they were, they certainly haven't made a point of telling us. Basically, GLAAD was essentially worthless in that particular effort. You know, and what was interesting was I was trying to get a statement from GLAAD for weeks, trying to get in touch with Rich Ferraro. Of course, you know, Rich Ferraro was on the show just about a month ago with Teak Milan. Talking about the drag race. No, can't get him on the phone. Well, can't get him on email. Let's put it that way. I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, I said, hey, you know, are you guys doing something here? Do you have something to say? No, they got nothing to say. So I'm wondering, you know, are they now, you know, I made a comment on Facebook earlier. It was censored by Jenny Boylan. Yeah. you know, and it's like, so now I guess GLAAD is in the business of censorship. Yeah, well, you know, I hate to say it, but boy, this sounds like a familiar path. Yeah. Do as we say, do it as we do it, or we're going to take our ball and go home. Yeah, who does that sound like, right? Okay, yeah, those of you who've been around a while, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, here we go down that same old road. No, we don't want to upset any of the celebrities at our big parties where we get all our funding. So if you're, you know, a problem for us, we're just not going to talk to you because, well, you know, you might upset some rich people, and we can't have that. Why? Well, because that's who we are totally beholden to. We don't really give a shit about the rank and file of the community because we have a budget to make. We've got to keep these rich people happy so that they keep writing us five and six figure checks. And if we don't do that, well, then, you know, then we cease to exist and we can't have another party next year. So, you see, that's the problem. If they don't keep doing these celebrity parties, well, then the problem is if they focus on the work instead of the celebrity party, well, then the problem is it's going to cut into their budget and they're not going to be able to hold another celebrity party the following year. So, you know, I mean, that's what it is. I think, because if they were serious about the work, you know, they would not be like going and hiding under a rock and censoring people and running away every time somebody challenges them to stand up, which is what it seems like GLAAD is doing these days. It makes you wonder, I mean, are these people relevant anymore? Is this organization relevant when it's like it seems like situations are resolving themselves by themselves easier and more efficiently and more effectively than they are when GLAAD gets involved, if they even choose to get involved? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy here. Maybe I am. I don't know. But the thing is, I have to ask this question because I don't... As time goes on, I'm having a harder and harder time understanding what the purpose of this organization is. Is there a purpose to hold parties? Is there a purpose to be a media watchdog, which is what they claim? Well, then how come they're not doing any watchdogging? How come when people say, hey, GLAAD, you know, there's a problem over here. Do you think you guys could get involved? All you get is these excuses and silence and, oh, we don't want to go there because, you know, we're secretly working in the background where you can't see us. Trust us. Yes, we're really, I mean, it's like, God, it's like 2007 all over again. I swear to God. Oh, you can trust us. We're the good guys. We're the human rights campaign. You know, I mean, that's what it, I mean, doesn't that, isn't that exactly what it seems like to you? I mean, seriously. Okay, I mean, I want to give GLAAD the benefit of the doubt because you know why? I mean, there are good people involved. But they're playing these same fucking HRC games. When are they going to learn? It's like, you know, we're very good at HRC games. We had to become good in order to play them. We had to. Because when HRC plays their little games, and they have, and they've been much better. But I mean, I'll give HRC full credit. They've come a long way. Now, whether they've come as far as they need to, well, that's an open question. But they certainly have come a long way from those days. GLAAD, I don't know, it seems like they're regressing. It's like they're folding in on themselves. Nobody wants to talk about the work. Everybody wants to talk about the latest award or the latest celebrity party or the latest TV show or the latest book. Nobody wants to talk about the discrimination. Nobody wants to talk about the bigotry. Nobody wants to talk about the transgender videos that appear on the Huffington Post Gay Voices. No one wants to talk about the issues, the media watchdog issues that GLAAD is supposed to be involved with, that GLAAD is supposed to be leading on. No, nobody wants to talk about that. They only want to talk about parties. And then, you know, when you get somebody like myself who says, you know, hey, what's going on here? Oh, let's talk about more how everybody is wonderful. Let's talk about how our president is wonderful. Yeah, what does she do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, she never seems to. I mean, does she do anything? Sarah Kate Ellis? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure she's a nice person, but I've never yet seen a single thing of consequence attributed to her personally. She just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. There's no, I haven't seen any evidence pro or con. So, you know, it seems like she's just a figurehead that pops up at award shows and stuff because I don't see her doing anything. But whatever, you know, I mean, the people who are supposed to be doing stuff won't talk to me. So, you know, because I said bad things about GLAAD. So therefore, you know, I am she who must be shunned now because I've dared to question their stuff, you know. Well, you know, it was the same way going back again. This is the way that we were treated, the way trans media was treated in 2007 by the Human Rights Campaign. Same kind of bullshit. You know, oh, you're going to say mean things about us, so we're not going to talk to you at all. Yeah. I mean, It's so classic. And that's the problem. You know, it's sad because, you know, obviously I consider myself a media activist. If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing here, would I? You know, this is what I do. This is my activism. This is, I have lobbied. I will lobby again, I am sure. But this is what I do. This is my activism. This is the way I do my thing. And so, if I didn't believe in GLAAD's mission, I wouldn't be doing this. Unfortunately, I think at times it seems like I believe in GLAAD's mission more than GLAAD believes in GLAAD's mission. There are times, like now, for example, when it seems like the only mission GLAAD seems concerned with is planning their next gala. That's the only mission they seem to be interested in, because when the stuff that really needs work, when the people who need to be challenged, when the status quo that needs to be confronted is presented to these people, they just do the same thing that they did last time. They run away and hide. Oh, we have to censor that. Uh-oh, here's somebody who disagrees with us. Have to make that go away. You know, I mean, is this really what they are now? Is this what GLAAD is? Is GLAAD more an organization that avoids being a watchdog? I mean, I don't know. I guess it's a pity, too, because there are a lot of people who were working with this organization who I respect. I just wish I respected the organization as much as I respect the people. Because I have to tell you, I really don't. Not anymore. And it's sad for me to have to say that. It is. It's disappointing for me to have to say that. I don't want to have to say that. But I am. Because, well, it's what it is. Now, let's see. All right, enough about GLAAD. This is interesting. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this. Transgender teenager in Connecticut being held at a Connecticut prison for women. At least, thank God she's a prison for women. Transgender teen. She's not been charged with a crime. She has not been convicted of a crime, but yet she's being held in a prison because that's where the state says, well, we don't have any other place for her. She's now, as of yesterday, she's described by her attorney as deteriorating. She's 16, and she's, of course, being referred to as Jane Doe to protect her identity. She is a minor. She's not, you know, there's no crime involved here. The reason that she's in this correctional facility is because she allegedly attacked staffers. She had been violently abused most of her life. And she had attacked people. And she got into trouble. But they're saying that the DCF just said, well, we can't care for her. So they put her in jail. Now, basically what they're saying, they think it's about their, and I'm sure it is, they just don't want to deal with her because she's trans. It's the bigotry. Of course it's the bigotry. It's always the bigotry with these people. You know, DCF, well, we don't want to deal with it, so we just won't. We can't provide the care that this person needs. I mean, it's the classic dodge. It really is. I mean, I actually had a doctor myself who I was paying money to be my doctor. One day sends me a letter, a registered letter, says, I don't want to be your doctor anymore because you're trans. I think there's other people who could care for you better. So what I found out was this guy dumped all his transgender patients. What happened was my original doctor was a wonderful man. I was with him for 10 years, and then he got sick. He passed recently, I found out. It was very sad. But when he was getting sick, he retired from practice and left his partner. You know, and he had all these transsexual patients. And his partner, once he left the practice, his partner dumped all of us. Said, oh, I can't care for you. Go find somebody else. Basically just said, well, you know, we don't feel we could care for you. Unbelievable. Just dumped all his patients. All of them. How's that for a period? You know? Okay, so this is par for the course. This is par for the course where professionals will say, you know, this is different. So rather than say, I'm going to do what I can to accommodate this new patient, they're just going to say, give it to somebody else. It's not my problem. We can't handle it. Give it to another department. Put her in jail. Let her rot in jail because it's inconvenient for us. Yeah. Yeah. We would have to go and adjust regulations, and we would have to change things in the way that we do to accommodate this. So we'd rather just put her in jail because that's what's easiest for us. Yeah. And you see, that's what it is. Fortunately, the governor has made it clear that he wants this girl getting into an appropriate treatment setting, according to him, in a matter of days or weeks, not months. How about in a matter of hours? Fuck it. You are abusing this child's basic rights. This is child abuse. This is fucking child abuse. What? How can this be going on 1 second longer than this has been aware? You're throwing a 16-year-old child in a prison, uncharged. This has to be illegal. I want to see this girl, when she turns 18, should have a huge pile from a large multi-million dollar settlement against the state of Connecticut for gross mistreatment and violation of her civil rights. Seriously. Transgender Law Center? Lambda Legal? Dudes, get on it, man. Sue the crap out of the state of Connecticut. Make sure something like this never, ever, ever happens again. This is unacceptable. I mean, how they can let this girl stay in a prison like this, be mistreated for one more moment than is absolutely necessary, is beyond me. Weeks or days? Are you shitting me? Oh my God, this is unbelievable. This is absolutely unbelievable. Now, there have been public protests about this. After this, DCF cut off all communications with her lawyer. They were negotiating, and apparently once they had a public protest, the Department of Children and Families just stopped negotiating. They just cut off the lawyer. Lovely people, right? Well, somebody holds a protest, so Lido, let's take it out on the child. Let's add additional time to harm the child to make it to get back at those protesters, because that's the example the state of Connecticut wants to set, right? You have a problem with protesters? Sure. Increase the harm to the child in your custody. That's the way to go, state of Connecticut. Yeah. God, I'm so disgusted. I am beyond words. Okay, here's hoping that Governor Malloy, who's supposedly a really progressive kind of guy, I'm just hoping this guy gets his shit together, his office gets his thing together, and they get this girl into a situation she deserves to be in, the kind of situation that respects her gender identity and respects her right and respects her rights as a child, as a minor child in the care of the state. All right. Yeah. I know. I'm getting a little annoyed here. All right. So let's move on. Here's another story that I'm not too thrilled with. But, you know, this is one of those stories that's disappointing but not surprising. You know what I mean? And people wonder, and I've had this people wonder publicly, why, you know, transgender activists and media figures like myself, are so angry, and we don't want to celebrate victories. And, oh, can't you guys just be quiet while we celebrate another marriage anniversary? You know, you guys are really getting annoying while we're, you know, celebrating and drinking to our civil rights. How, you know, what a bring down you people are. I'm hearing this all the time. And you know why we're so angry? Let me hit you with this one. This one's from Gay Star News. Transgender bathroom access removed from Houston City anti-LGBT discrimination ordinance. A citywide ban on discrimination against LGBT people looks likely to pass in Houston, but it's been amended, wait for it, to prevent transgender people having the right to access the bathrooms of their genders. Trans people in the Texas city of Houston will have no guarantee they will be allowed to use the bathrooms meant for the people of their gender after good old Anise Parker, that great champion of justice that she is, removed the protection from the proposed anti-discrimination ordinance. Trans people will still be protected from discrimination in housing and employment, along with gays and lesbians and bisexual people. But under the ordinance, the bathroom access issue was the most controversial part, so Mayor Parker removed it to guarantee it becomes law. In other words, as these people always do, traitor threw trans people under the bus in order to grease the wheels for wealthy gays and lesbians. Same routine. She must get, I bet you, how long do you think before HRC gives her an award for that? Because it's exactly what they would do. You know, well, they'll be lining up behind GLAAD, of course. But, you know, I mean, here we go. And you wonder why we're so angry. Now, watch people say, oh, you trans people, you're complaining. Well, we have full civil rights, and you're raining on our parade. People should have a right to celebrate. Well, too bad. You can still be taken out of your bathroom in handcuffs. But, hey, you know, you guys are really a downer, aren't you? Yeah, you know, excuse me, I need to get to that other pitcher of Appletini's over there. Yeah. I mean, and then they wonder, why are we so angry? Why do we keep calling it and saying, you know, when shit like this happens, and then you go saying, oh, gee, we have full equality in Houston now. We go, bullshit, liar, liar, liar. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Just like it's you're lying when you say it in New York. You're lying when you say it in New Hampshire. You're lying when you say it in Massachusetts. You're lying when you say it in Wisconsin. And you're lying when you say it in any other jurisdiction that does not have full civil rights for everyone. There can be no such thing as equality unless everyone is equal. And when you try to call it marriage equality, when in reality those rights are extended only to some, like in the places I just listed, then you are lying, because it is not equality. And when I point that out to you, whether it be here or in print somewhere, you know, when I get these people going, oh, you know, we should be allowed to just celebrate in peace. Yeah. Oh, and we'll, don't worry, we'll fight for you tomorrow. Really, we will. Trust us. It's only been, what, 18, 20 years now? Trust us. We'll come back for you. You can trust us. Just give us another generation or two. Well, you know, right after we finish this next picture of Appletini's, excuse us. I mean, really. And then they wonder why we're so angry. This is why. Traitors who the gay community will now label as heroes. Mark my words, you want to watch every gay guy, you want to watch everything from Gay Voices and every gay media laud this woman, this traitor, this person who just threw trans people under the bus in the city of Houston, how long do you think they're going to be before the celebratory articles are up on Gay Voices and all these other places, all the other gay media, calling this woman a hero? Seriously. That's what you're going to see. And everybody will be, oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it grand? Just like they are when they're marking anniversaries in Massachusetts of Goodrich. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it grand? Don't look behind the curtain where trans people are still being denied bathroom access. No, 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 no. Look over here where the party is. That's where you look over here. Yeah, over here. Here. No, 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 no. Not over there. That's the unemployment line where trans people are rejected from their jobs because they can't even get a job, because they can't even get an interview. Don't look over there. No, no, no. Here, the party is over here. Have another appletini. Come on. Come on. Oh, look, 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 look. NPH is out on the deck. Come on over. I mean, really, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's gotten to that point already. We're even just bringing it up. Even just bringing it up and pointing it out and saying, hey, you know what? When you've got a bearded drag queen like Conchita Wurst and she wins Eurovision, that's great. But there's a problem when you bring it to the United States. Why? Because they're going to use that against trans women. I actually had more than one gay guy suggest to me, and seriously, actually, I had more than one gay guy, including a couple of, and I will point out that these two gay guys I'm referring to are journalists who I greatly respect, actually suggested that Conchita Wurst, the bearded drag queen, who is actually a man named Tom Neuwirth, of course, Conchita Wurst is not a real person, it's a fictional character, and suggested that Conchita Wurst should be allowed to use the ladies' room. To which I and other trans women said, no, this guy is a guy. He doesn't claim to be a woman. He has a full beard. He is a guy. He says he acknowledges that Conchita Wurst is not a real person. He belongs in the men's room. What's the issue? I mean, Neil Patrick Harris is playing a transsexual woman on Broadway right now. Does anybody doubt which bathroom he's supposed to go in? It's so ridiculous. And what was even more ridiculous was these two guys, okay, along with others, who are vehemently arguing that this bearded guy in a dress should be allowed to go into the ladies' room where women are, okay? This guy is not a woman. He's a guy. He's a guy. He is a self-professed guy. He does not want to be a woman. He is not looking to assimilate with women. He does not identify with women. He is a mockery of women. And that's what these people don't get. He does not belong in the ladies' room. It is unbelievable to me, the arrogance of some of these people who they say, well, he belongs because he wears a dress and it's a safety issue. Well, if it's a safety issue, what the fuck is he doing in a full beard and a dress? If you've got a safety issue, then why are you putting yourself out there? Don't argue that. You assume those risks the day you put your shaver on the shelf and decided to go out in a sequin dress. So what kind of bullshit is this? Actually arguing that his right, because he, a guy, is wearing a dress, is more important than all of the women who would be inconvenienced and discomforted by his presence in the ladies' room. I mean, what fucking arrogance? Can you believe it? The arrogance. It's like, who the fuck do you people think you are? It's like, if you want to be qualified to use the ladies' room, it's not a hard bar. Identify as a woman. If you identify as a woman, your appropriate place to use the bathroom is the ladies' room. He does not. This is a guy. He belongs in the ladies' room, whether he's wearing a skirt or he's wearing jungle fatigues. It really doesn't matter. A guy is a guy. It's just it's the unbelievable level of arrogance. I mean, seriously, and you see this stuff in all kinds of ways, whether it's this Drag Race 76 video with the RuPaul thing. It's all these guys who decide, well, you know, we're guys, so we should be able to determine. You know, it's just they're trying to assert this ridiculous male privilege. And I think that's part of it. You know, that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people have latched onto this yet. And I hope they have, but I don't think a lot of people have. The whole thing with trans women standing up to people like Piers Morgan and Katie Couric and RuPaul and all these things, you know, they're all linked by a certain thing. It's not just about being trans. It's about being women. It's about saying, no, it's not a man's world. Men will not dictate our lives to us. They will not. We will not allow it. And I don't think men are used to doing that. Especially men who are, I want to be careful here. Used to receiving a certain level of respect, maybe partially because of their resumes and their positions, but also because they're men. And saying, well, you know, that men should get a certain level of respect because they're men. And so versus saying, no, you don't. A man does not get the right to walk into the ladies' room because he's wearing a dress. That does not gain you entry to the ladies' room. You're still a man in a dress, unless you say, you declare, I am a woman. When you declare, I am a woman, well, that changes the equation. But when you say, I am a guy in a dress, wearing a full beard, but I want to use the ladies' room? No! No! You don't get to do that. You're still a guy in a dress. And guys belong in the men's room. That's it. This is not an issue. I mean, you see, that's the thing. You know, everybody's worried about sexual predators. Nobody's worried about sexual predators in this case. It's more like, I don't want any person, bearded person. I don't want a bearded man in the ladies' room with me. I don't want it. I don't like it. Frankly, bearded ladies are creepy, but this is no lady in any case. Okay? But that's not the point. The point is, I don't want men in the ladies' room. He's a man. He needs to go away. He needs to go to the men's room. That's where he needs to go. Yuck. Yeah. And that is not a disgust about drag queens. It is a disgust about men in the ladies' room. Ew. Go out. Go. Shoot. I mean, really, I, you know, and that's the thing. It's the lack of respect for the women that would be imposed upon by this man entering the ladies' room. What about them? No. These guys who I was interacting with, no, they didn't seem to factor that part of it in. Their only concern was how he might feel. Nobody seemed to factor in how the women might feel. And it's the same thing. You know, when you translate this outward to, like, for example, just to throw it out there, gay voices, you know, the only concern that the editorial staff at Gay Voices had with that Drag Race 76 video was that it was hilarious! Hilarious. It makes us laugh. Nobody stopped for a moment to say, gee, how would trans women feel about this? That was not a concern. Why? Because these are not people that factor in the feelings of trans people. These are people who say, well, we let them write for us for free, so they don't have to have a voice in our editorial policy. We can make it exclusively about what gay men like and enjoy. And if that happens to be a little transphobic, and if it happens to include transgender violence and personal attacks, well, hey, you know, we're guys. That's what we do. That's our vision. You see? Because it's not as much about trans, it's about women. Guys just think, well, their opinion is really what matters, after all. And, well, women, you can just sit down and shut up and you know, we'll drive and we'll tell you what to think and how to feel because we're the guys. And I think that's part of it. I think it is. I really do. And even though, yeah, okay, you could say, well, maybe it wasn't Katie Couric. But you know what? Katie Couric, she may be a woman herself, but she was doing exactly the same thing that guys do all the time. Saying, no, I don't want to know about you. Talk to me about your crotch. Talk to me about the state of your genitalia. Don't tell me about who you are, what you are, your book, your writing, your art. Don't talk to me about those things. Talk to me about that little space between your legs, because that's all I really care about. And so that's exactly what Laverne Cox and Carmen Carrera were responding to. It was a very masculine thing that Katie Couric did. It just came out of a woman's mouth. But it was a very masculine thing. It was basically the same thing that Piers Morgan was doing. It's like, don't talk to me about your art. Don't talk to me about the book that you've come on my show to promote. Talk to me about that little spot between your legs, because that's the only thing that we really want to know about. Because your self-worth, everything that we care about, everything we want to know about in regards to you, can be centered into that little mound of flesh between your legs. Has nothing to do with your mind, has nothing to do with who you are, what you've done, anything you are, what you are, what you're like as a person. No, it all has to do with whether you have an innie or an outie. Yeah. And yeah, people wonder why we're angry. Why we're so oversensitive. Why we jump down people's throats when we hear this bigoted nonsense. Ding, 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 ding. This is it. Because this shit happens over and over and over and over and over. It just does. And so eventually you get to the point where you finally say, you know what? No, enough. We are got to start calling this out. And you know what? We're doing it. I mean, I've been doing it for years, but finally people like Laverne Cox and Janet Mock are doing it on television. Okay? And it matters. It makes a difference. I can do it 100 times, and it's not going to mean shit compared to one time when it's done on television, because that's just the way it is. That's just the difference between the reach of television versus the reach of this. I mean, you know, I am not under any illusions as to my own reach. You know, yeah, I'm proud to say we've grown in listenership a lot, but frankly, you know, in MSNBC, we ain't. Now, I want to talk another story. I want to talk about another story here. Kristen Beck, who, of course, is a Navy SEAL who transitioned, said some not-so-nice things about Chelsea Manning earlier, which wasn't very nice. I'm not going to go there. But this is interesting. I thought she said it was awesome that Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said the military should continually review its policy towards the transgender community. But she likened the process of trans integration in the military to going through puberty, with a lot of difficult questions and awkward moments ahead. At least it's being talked about, Beck told ABC News. It's a pretty huge step that we're even taking really hard looks at it. The military right now is going through growing pains. God, you know, for somebody who served, she sure has a rather sad opinion of the abilities of the U.S. military. I mean, this is somebody who is a Navy SEAL. I always heard Navy SEALs, the way they talk is they can do anything. The United States military is the finest fighting force in the world, and they can always carry out the mission that is set for it. And now what we're hearing is that could still be true, that they could go anywhere in the world and succeed and emerge home victorious, but they can't handle something as simple as integrating transgender people into their service model? Is that what you're saying? That the United States military, the finest fighting force in the entire world, is incapable of handling this? Is that really what they're saying? Because I would like to know if that's what they're saying. Because don't forget, they said basically the same thing about don't ask, don't tell. And guess what? Nothing happened. Yeah, so gay people are serving openly. Big deal. You know, these people are just cowards. Hegel said he was open to it. He wouldn't say, you know, I mean, these people are just cowards. And that's the thing. I mean, either the United States military is up to the mission and should do it, or they're incapable and incompetent, and in which case, are they really the finest fighting force in the world? Because they can't handle a simple personnel issue like that. What does that say about everything else? My God. Are they really that hamstrung by their own irrational fears and bigotries that they can't make a simple personnel adjustment like incorporating transgender soldiers into the military? Really? Really? Because, you know, I find that difficult to believe based on what I've always believed about the men and women of the United States military, that they can handle any mission, that their supervisors, that their leadership would handle any mission that was set before it. And yet here they are, these so-called leaders who are saying, we're not capable. We can't get the job done. We are not up to this mission. I mean, that's what it seems to be saying. And I have trouble believing that. I don't believe that's what the soldiers would say, the folks at the lower and middle levels of the United States military. I don't think they would be as defeatist as their leaders are. I don't think they would be as, yes, I'm going to use the word, cowardly in this, as their leaders are. I think that these men and women of the United States military would rise to the challenge, and they would succeed, as they always do, because that's what the men and women of the United States military do. They get the mission, they fulfill the mission, they succeed at the mission. I don't see any problem here. And if there is a problem, it is the fears and bigotries of those in command. Plain and simple. Don't compare. Come on, Kristen. Don't make excuses for these people. Don't make excuses for these people. Don't provide cover for bigotry, Kristen. Challenge it. Don't make excuses for it. Side with the community, not with the cowards. All right, I'm not going to continue there because that's, I don't want to say things of negative because I think Kristen Beck is, while I don't agree with her on every issue, I certainly agree that she is absolutely an American hero. And I don't want to be at odds with her. So I'm going to stop talking about that. Anyway, let's see. What else have we got here? I don't know. You know, I said I was going to do an hour. Here's another one. This is interesting. I found this earlier. Now, apparently, Chelsea Manning, who, of course, as you know, was leaked private information, top secret information, was Bradley Manning, became Chelsea Manning. Apparently, she might get her gender dysphoria treatment after all. Now, this is apparently unprecedented in military history, but it just goes to show you how the United States military will do backflips in order to avoid, to run away from the issue here. Listen to this. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this crap. Okay. Convicted national security leaker Private Chelsea Manning might get treatment for gender dysphoria in an unprecedented case that now sheds light on how the military treats transgender soldiers, a small minority who serve invisibly for fear of reprisal. By the way, this is from Good Morning America, I should point out. Okay, born male, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so sentenced, let's see. So apparently, now I'm scanning this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but apparently what they're saying is because trans people are barred from serving in the armed forces, Department of Defense told ABC News at the time, there is no mechanism in place for the U.S. military to provide hormone therapy or gender reassignment surgery for inmates, which, of course, is a lie because the VA does it all the time. So they're liars. They're liars. The VA does it all the time. There is facility for it. They just don't want to provide it. That's the difference. Moving on. Continuing on. Now, just a week after Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel approved a request by Army leadership to evaluate potential treatment for inmates diagnosed with gender dysphoria, Manning may be transferred to a civilian prisoner, according to the DOD. She has asked for hormone therapy to live as a woman. Her request was the first ever made by a transgender military inmate and seemingly conflicted with longstanding policy. Manning cannot be discharged while serving her sentence. During court-martial and pretrial hearings, Manning referred to herself using female Brianna. Her lawyers argued her judgment had been clouded by a struggle with gender identity problems. Photos that Manning took of herself dressed as a woman were used as evidence. It goes on. Press Secretary RDML, I don't know what that means, the John Kirby released a statement. The secretary approved the request by Army leadership to evaluate potential treatment options for inmates diagnosed with gender dysphoria. No decision to transfer Private Manning to a civilian facility has been made. And any such decision will, of course, properly balance the soldiers' medical needs with our obligation to ensure Private Manning remains behind bars. And that means what exactly? I don't know. Anyway, they got a quote from Mara Kiesling, of course, that executive director of National Center for Transgender Equality, frequent guest on the show, said there's no dilemma, at least not in her case. Or at least not Manning's case, which from the start has been in violation of the Constitution for not accommodating her health needs in prison. Mara says, Chelsea Manning came out just after being convicted and when the DOD instantly said there was no way she could get treatment. We said, yes, they will. They are just wrong. Now they've done an analysis and they understand that there is a constitutional requirement to provide health care for prisoners. So apparently they're looking to do this under the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits administering cruel and unusual punishment. So NCTE is apparently, according to Mara, looking forward to working with the Pentagon to end these outdated rules that harm our military. Well, yeah. I've often said that I think I wish I was as optimistic as Mara, because I think sometimes she's a little more. And I understand. I mean, you know, when you're in the kind of position Mara's in, you're a hope broker, just like a politician. You're a broker in hope. So you want to not be discouraging, but at the same time, it's like, you know, there's certain things that are just difficult. But in any case, apparently they may wind up transferring her. They may wind up transferring Chelsea Manning to a civilian prison. And basically the argument is once again, just like this same bullshit argument they're trying to sell in Connecticut. Well, she's transgender. We can't handle it. We can't handle it. We're incapable because she's transgender. Because transgender, so we can't handle it. We're the finest fighting force in the world has ever seen, but we can't handle a transgender inmate. We win every war. We've never been defeated. We've never been failed a mission. But we can't handle transgender. I mean, does this sound as pathetic to you as it does to me? You know, because don't forget, they said the same thing before they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You know, oh, we can do anything, but, well, we can't handle this. It'll mean the destruction of everything we hold dear. And, oh God. People will die. Remember John McCain was saying that? That soldiers will die if gay soldiers are allowed to serve openly. I mean, seriously, they actually made that argument. You know, oh, it's an attack on good order and cohesiveness and blah, 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 blah. It's so stupid. It really is. Especially when you've got 12 other Western countries that all allow this. None of them have a problem with it. I mean, we are the laughingstock of the Western world in terms of this stuff. Culturally, we are a joke. Okay? You have more, you know, we used to be the freest nation on earth. That's what, remember, those of you who are my age, I just turned 52. Those of you who are my age, you know, when you were in school, when you were in grade school, they used to tell you, and maybe they still do, America is the freest nation on earth. Remember that? Remember you used to hear that? It's bullshit now. We are not, by any stretch, the freest nation on earth. That's got to go somewhere in Europe, maybe Netherlands or Denmark or some Finland, maybe, I don't know. But I'll tell you, we are it definitely ain't the United States of America. You can be sure about that. I mean, it's such a joke. And it's sad to have to say that, okay? Because, I mean, who am I? I'm an American. I don't want the United States to be a joke, but we are. We are laughable culturally. We are so backwards, it's not funny compared to the rest of the Western world. We really are. I mean, you would think that even just the embarrassment, of being so culturally backwards that we still have 29 states where it's legal to fire somebody for being gay. We still have 33 states where it's legal to fire somebody for being trans. We're now going to have states where it's legal for gay people to get married, but it's still legal for their employers to fire them for being gay. How about that shit? Yeah, rah-rah Idaho. Good luck building a gay family in Idaho. Good luck with that. Yeah, celebrate your freedom. Because, yeah, you'll feel free to watch out for the next Molotov cocktail that's going to come past your house. Okay, I mean, seriously, is that what you call freedom? Is that what you call equality? Seriously? The freedom to enter into a legal contract with another person in a place where that your boss and your landlord also have the freedom to evict you or to fire you just for being gay, for exercising your right to marry? I mean, is that really, that's really what you want? Is that the kind of freedom, is that really what you call equality? Because I don't call that equality. Just like I don't call it equality when a person who is transgender in New York can get married to whoever they want, But their boss can still fire them for being transgender, and their landlord can still throw them out of their home for being transgender, and they can still be refused a hotel room, and they can still be refused a drink in a bar, all because they're trans. Now, you may call that equality. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. I don't think that qualifies. I don't think that qualifies. I'm sorry. Just like I don't think it qualifies when you have a state like Massachusetts where, yeah, I could theoretically, legally marry anybody I wanted. I could also be denied a drink in a bar or the use in a bathroom in most areas. I don't call that equality. I call that inequality. That's what I call it. I'm sorry. I mean, you hear all these people talking about marriage equality. Well, where's the equality? Where is the marriage equality in a place like New York? Where is the marriage equality in a place like Idaho or Iowa or one of these places where it's still legal to fire you just for being gay or trans? How are the marriages made in those places equal to marriages where your lives are not legally able to be destroyed for this, just for exercising your right to marry or to live your life in a way that feels right to you? How is that equality? I would love somebody to explain the logic there. How that is equality. The only equality I see is the equality of all of us LGBT people to have our lives destroyed as bigots. Unless, of course, you're in a state like New York or Massachusetts or New Hampshire, then it's only the trans people, because now the gays have joined the oppressor class and it's only us left here. And of course you see how all the great effort there is to help bring us along, you know, how hard they're working to, you know, we'll come back for you. Remember that? Yeah, we can now see how much effort is being placed in there. How many more years are going to go by as they're talking about constitutional amendments to protect gay people but not trans people, and how we have a governor in New York that can't even be bothered to acknowledge we exist. You know, really, because, you know, after all, where's the money, right? It's not like the Democratic Party can profit. Andrew Cuomo isn't interested in helping trans people. He's only interested in helping one percenters. He's only interested in helping those who can help him. And we don't represent enough money or enough votes for him to care about. So, in any case, we are pretty much out of time. So I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to you for tuning in. We'll see. In the meantime, have a good day, everybody.